All right, go ahead, talk. Say, you're listening to the Word Bros Podcast.
No.
Do it.
No.
Do it. Say, you're listening to the Word Bros Podcast. Do it. You're listening to the Word Bros Podcast. TheWordBros.com. This week on Word Bros, we talk to Kevin Cuff's number one man, his main dude, his artist. They've been working together now for, Christ, you guys have been working on Oathbound for
3 years.
3 years. We talked to the artist of Oathbound, Paul Gorey.
That's right, Paul.
Yeah. Yeah, Paul's a good dude, man. So we're going to have him on the podcast. Also, if you've noticed, the podcasts have been coming out kind of scattered lately. I'm changing the release date of the podcast to Thursdays because my Wednesdays are just completely out of control. I'm a good dude. I've started exercising.
Oh.
So I've been exercising on Wednesdays because I don't want to die. Like, that's my big fear in life is being dead.
Really? I'm not afraid of being dead.
Yeah, I don't want to die. I've got too much to live for, baby. I got to make
these. I'm afraid of sharks and zombies, bro.
I mean, you know, those are.
And sharks, you can't do nothing about. You're in water. Like, how are you going to fight a shark?
See, I'd be more afraid of drowning in the water.
Are you not a good swimmer?
No, I just. Drowning sounds really awful.
Yeah, drowning does sound terrible, but I'm afraid of sharks. So.
Yeah, see, I mean, I'm not afraid of sharks, baby. I love sharks. I love metal sharks.
I love metal sharks as well.
But yeah, so no, I joined a gym. I've been volunteering at Sophie's school on Wednesdays. I've started taking Bobby to story time Wednesday afternoons.
So oh, wow.
My Wednesdays just got really condensed because my son was never really into going to story time. We were at the library one day and they had a story time and he's like, hey, let's go to story time. And he really liked it. So now he wants to go every Wednesday. So my Wednesdays have just gotten really condensed and very packed tight. So I can't find time to get the podcast up and running. So I'm just going to put it out on Thursdays now. So
but that's great that he likes story time.
No, no, it's awesome. Oh, yeah. Like, it's fun. Cause he's
no, I don't think you are. I'm just saying that's really cool that he got into it. Like,
yeah.
And, like, that was no coercion from you or anything. He just decided to go.
We were just kicking it at the library. And, like, they were like, all right, if you're here for a story time. And he was like, story time sounds awesome. So we just kind of ran back there.
All right. That's great. My kid's been getting into, like, Star Wars Rebels. That's what he's been getting into.
That's awesome.
So, and that is through dad coercion. Because I had it on. And then he just sat down and, like, zoned into it. But I wasn't intentional. I was watching. Because can you restart it? Because, like, I missed stuff. And I was like, yeah. So I restarted it. And I think he was interested because we started watching. We watched the whole first season. He was kind of in and out of that. And then started the second season and Darth Vader is like in the first episode.
So oh, that's cool.
Yeah, he was in because Darth Vader was there. He's like, Darth Vader? Oh, I'm in. Like, so it's crazy because he's watching just to wait to see Boba Fett show up. My son's person is Boba Fett. So he keeps on going, like, when's Boba Fett going to show up? I'm like, I don't know. I didn't write this. So I have no idea. He's coming. Like, I can't help you. He's awesome. I was like, okay, cool. Like, maybe he'll show up. I don't know. So that's the Star Wars Rebels thing.
I dig it. I've never seen it. I've heard good things.
I think you would enjoy it.
To be honest with you, if I'm going to go back and start watching a cartoon, I'm going to watch all the Ninja Turtles.
Really? The Nickelodeon ones?
I got into it, and then we moved, and then I fell out of it. But, like, if I was going to go back and start watching a cartoon, it would be those Nickelodeon. I love the designs on that. Like, I just love that cartoon. I thought it was really
good. No, it's fantastic. Did you see the episode where they did, like, Monsters and Mazes, where they had the D&D, where they played D&D?
Oh, no, I want to see that one.
That's great. Man, yeah. We watched that, and I was like, this is really good.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So, well.
Oh, we're going to talk to Paul. Paul's coming on now, so let's listen to the smooth, sweet sounds. Paul Gorey.
What?
You're looking at your ceiling because you're busy drawing. When we hang out with Drew and when we interviewed Drew, we just stared at his ceiling the whole time because Drew had his phone down and talking to us while he was, hey, what's up, Paul?
I'm not fucking drawing.
No, you're just sitting in a, you're just sitting in an easy chair being lazy.
Yeah, I'm done for the day. I'm over it.
Hey, you know what, man? Sometimes you got to be over it. Sometimes it happens.
But I don't really like looking at myself. It's kind of weird. How do I change the camera?
What do you mean?
Oh, there you go. Now I'm looking at your beautiful face.
Oh.
I wasn't talking to you, demon.
Oh, that guy looks like he sings for Stained right now. That's what Paul looks like. He looks like the singer. It's been a while. So what's up, man?
Not, man. Not much. I just got off the Skype call with you and Sean.
Oh, how is Sean?
Sean's pretty fucking rad.
Yeah, Sean's a good dude, man. I like Sean. And that we've talked about this before on the podcast. It's very important to find yourself an editor and stick with your editor and listen to what your editor says. Today we have the privilege of talking to – it's weird because I've known you for quite some time, Paul, but I've never actually spoken to you. So your voice doesn't sound like I thought it would, if that makes sense.
No, I don't have a manly voice.
No, I thought – yeah, you do sound like kind of a – like a small boy.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, you sound like an eighth grader or something. Just
yeah, I just took my biology test.
So. I don't feel bad. My voice isn't very manly either. So
neither is mine.
No, you've got that cool gravelly thing going on.
Yeah, Yeah, he does.
It comes and goes.
That cool, especially when you say something more, it's like, I'm going to get some coffee. It's like, it's great. It's like one of the best things to hear the first thing in the morning at the con. Man, I need some coffee. I'm like, oh, there you go. There's
the That's funny.
Sometimes. It just depends. So, yeah, man, so we're talking to you, Paul. You've got a lot of irons in the fire, my dude. You got a lot of stuff going on. I don't know why I'm doing most of the talking. Kevin knows you better than anybody, so.
I wasn't sure what to say for a second. It was weird.
Well, I mean, he's your friend. Fucking talk to him.
Are we on?
There's a little red.
Are we on?
Like, yeah. I have no idea what's going on.
Microphone check. So... tell us how you got into drawing.
Oh, wow. I have a friend that I had met through my wife, actually, what is a teacher, and she started working for a district out here, and she had become really fast friends.
Where's out here?
California, I'm sorry. Here.
Just because some people may not know.
I know. I always make that assumption that everybody lives in California for some reason. sorry. I had met this guy, this friend of mine, Anthony Davis, and we would go out to the pub out in Lake Forest, California, and we would have some drinks, and we would just talk about art and comic books and stuff like that. And one day he basically kind of forced me to put my money where my mouth was.
Mm-hmm.
And I had told him, you know, hey, I've always wanted to draw comic books. I just never felt confident enough to even attempt it. And he knew that I could draw, so he gave me some stuff and I drew it. And we started working on a project that we've been working on since then.
Wow.
Yeah. And it's called The Emergence. And I started posting stuff on Twitter.
The Emergence. That sounds intense.
Yeah, it's pretty. It is pretty.
It's super sexual, which is crazy.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's very sexual.
Hang on. I'm going to be honest with you though, real fast. As a comic book writer looking for an artist, if the first image I saw was two chicks banging, I would not hire you. Like, I'm not going to lie to you. I'd be like, nah, I'm good. I'm not gonna hire this dude. So Kevin, how did you get over that? Like, how did you jump that hurdle is what I want to know.
He posted a lot more images than just that, but there were some that were like, it was really weird because when I was seeing what he was posting, it was like lots of nudity, lots of crazy stuff, one of the first things I saw him draw was that. But then he had other stuff in there that he was drawing. And we kind of formed a friendship over the other stuff. Like, I think it was over...
It was a picture of Spider-Man. I had drawn a picture of Spider-Man. I had posted it. And Kevin and I just kind of started shooting the shit and just joking around. And then we kind of critiqued it.
I wasn't trying to be rude, but he was like, you know, this is a Spider-Man thing. The first time I've ever drawn it. What do you think? And I said, it looks good, but the spider on his chest looks too small. And then he messaged back. And it was all over Twitter, so it was, like, right out there. And I didn't know how Twitter worked at the time. So when he messaged back, I was like, oh, people actually talk on this thing. It's kind of crazy. So we were back and forth for a little while.
Okay.
He tells this part of the story better, because I felt like I was being kind of jerky, but I wasn't.
Not at all. Kevin was really, really nice about it, and just very constructive criticism. And we just kind of started talking, and he posted something about a talent hunt for, I believe, Top Cow.
Okay.
And that was on my Facebook. We friended on Facebook after that.
Yeah, okay. And then he had posted something, and he was like, oh, I'm thinking I'm going to take a crack at writing. And I quickly responded, because it was one of those moments where I was on, you know, I saw what he had posted. And so I responded, and I said, well, shit, you know, I'd like to draw something with you. And we exchanged numbers, and we talked on the phone, and we've been friends ever since.
Yeah, pretty much.
Interesting.
That's pretty much it. Like, I mean, but we had talked over Twitter and the internet for probably about
four. Like about a week.
Longer than that.
All right.
That's like 4 months or so.
Now, like, well, let me ask you a question. The industry being what it is at this point, things like that are not as, I guess, prevalent anymore, for the better, I'd say, almost. Like the objectification of women and things of that nature. Like, did you ever think about maybe putting like a pen name on this book at all? Because, I mean, would you want your name attached to something like that?
Most likely that is an option.
Okay.
But I don't think that it's toned down enough. It got way, way more. Originally, it delved into this whole nother.
The book was very much about sexuality when he explained it to me.
It definitely was. It's morphed into something completely different. He still has a target audience, which is the LGBTQ community, but it's not so hypersexualized as it was before. Now it's more. He has a lot more action and a lot more science fiction.
Because you can do it's possible to do stuff like that. It's just you have to be very kind of careful.
Yeah.
Doing it well, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and that was one of the conversations him and I had. I said, look, I know what you're trying to do, and I know how passionate you are about this and how you are about this community. I'm like, but I feel that we can do this with I was really careful with how I worded it, because him and I are really close as Kevin and I are, and I didn't want him to feel that I was telling him that the story wasn't, you know, good, because it was. I just felt that he was focusing more on the sexual content than the actual story, and I think that when I worded it the way that I did with him, he realized that, okay, you know what, you're right. And we kind of sat down with some beers and kind of talked it through. And now it's something that is, it's a lot better. And not that it wasn't good before.
I feel like you're running for office here, Paul. Let's move on to something different. I feel like you're trying to have.
I'm trying to be careful with how you are.
So let's just move on. I get what you're going for. Like, you kind of danced around it with him a little bit, but you were upfront about it. You were like, hey, man, you kind of get me. Okay. And then so the story's kind of morphed into something else. Now, you brought up something which I've always wanted to ask freelance artists and people that are in the indie comics community. Has there ever been I guess a scenario or a situation where you were approached by an art by a writer and you read the script and it was shit. Like, what do you do in that situation? Because I've always been curious. Like,
no, like that's a good question.
Like, do you still?
I've never thought of that.
Yeah, do you still take the gig? Like, is it something? You know,
that's a good question. There have been a couple times where some people have approached me and they have asked me if I wanted to work on a project with them, and I couldn't get past like the second page because it was the nicest way possible. It just wasn't that, it wasn't my cup of tea.
Okay.
I did not take the gig. I basically said, you know, I really appreciate you offering me this opportunity. However, you know, I'm really tied up and I don't like to be rude to people. But I also don't feel comfortable lying, but there's been a couple times where I've had to flat out lie just because I don't want to hurt people's feelings. You know, I don't want to crush anybody's hope that they have something that is going to be the next best thing. You know, who am I to say that to them?
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, I'm very careful, but there have been times where I have needed, there have been several times so far that I have needed the job because, you know, this is my income from, you know, my family, as I'm sure you know and understand, that I have had to take the project and I wasn't too eager, I guess you could say. But I did it and I did what I had to do. And sometimes I look at them and I go, oh, wow. but I'm still appreciative of it because, as Kevin can probably tell you, I try to look at everything as a learning experience. Like I just did a 3-issue gig with a writer named Stephanie Maynard, and it's not the kind of story that I normally would go towards. But I wanted to do it. Like, I remember talking to Kevin about it. He's like, well, you know, horror is not your strong suit. And
yeah, I did say that.
And I flat out told Kevin, I was like, yeah, I know, but this is the only way I'm going to be able to do it. Like, I have to just learn and I have to be able to just put myself in an uncomfortable situation and just do it. Now I feel more comfortable because of that. I feel more comfortable drawing, you know, monsters and things like that because I've put myself through the, I guess, the learning experience, and I feel, you know,
through the gauntlet, baby. You've been through the gauntlet. You went through Starcade 87 and had to face a man on top of a scaffold, if you will.
Yeah, basically
suspended above a ring, baby. No,
heck yeah. So you did this book with Stephanie. What's that book called?
It's called Psychopath.
Okay, now if I wanted to pick that up, where can I get that?
They have a Facebook. For all I know, that I believe she has the Facebook page for her small press company. It's called Scapegoat Press.
Okay.
And I believe you can go on there and order the books, at least issue 1 and issue 2. And I believe she is opening a store, Envy.
Oh, that's
where
cool.
You could order all the books.
And you just wrapped issue 3 on that, right?
I just finished it up, like, I don't know, like, what, about a month ago? Yeah, I finished it up, and it's getting colored right now by the very talented Whitney Cook.
Okay.
And Sean is doing the edits on that book as well.
Oh, Sean, that's awesome.
Sean Greenleaf.
Sean Greenleaf be working with everybody, man. But I mean, when you're good, you get hired a lot. And I can tell kind of in your experience too. I mean, you're out there, you're putting yourself out there, you're working hard, you're getting stuff done, man. So that's awesome.
Thank you. I'm trying.
And then you even, you've sent us some stuff too that you write. Yes.
I took a crack at it. Yes, I did.
How did that work for you?
I honestly think that, I'm still waiting to hear from some people.
He's not going to be honest. He goes, the first day after that, he goes, I don't know how you guys do it. It's hard.
It was extremely fucking hard for me. Like I had this idea in my head, and it was about this 80s cop, you know, like this cop based in the 80s in Miami that just basically didn't give a fuck. And I just wanted to have this really hilarious story based in Miami, and I wanted to just have fun with it. And so I went to Sean, and we pieced it all together, and I wrote it like within like 2 days, I think. I think I wrote the whole issue in 2 days, and I mapped out all the first 5 issues in those 2 days. And then it took me like 3 weeks to get the 8th final copy of it, like the, you know, the revised version, like the final version of it.
Yes.
And I think we emailed a bunch of you guys the script, and we're still waiting to hear from some people, because we know everybody's busy and they have jobs and they're working on other projects. But we're going to be doing a Kickstarter for that, I believe, after the Kickstarter for Oathbound issue 3. And I can't really start doing any real designs for it until I'm done with the projects that I'm on right now, because, you know, life happens and we've fallen behind, but on a couple of those projects, but I just don't want to dedicate my full time to that just yet. Okay. So, but you got a copy too, I'm pretty sure. And I know Kevin got one.
I did. I'm not going to lie to you. Haven't read it.
No, I totally understand.
I haven't read. I get behind on my own stuff sometimes, and right. I feel bad saying.
Don't feel bad.
It's just one of those things where, like, yeah, I haven't read it either. I just haven't gotten to it yet.
I'm not offended one bit.
Because I enjoy reading comic scripts. I like reading other people's comic scripts. Because for me, I guess it's kind of like looking at other people's artwork and their processes. Like, I like to see how they go about doing it, if that makes sense.
Yeah, you know, it was really interesting for me doing that, because as I told Kevin before he read it, I was like, you know, I want you to know right now that I wrote this, I was basically catering to myself. Like, I wrote this knowing what my capabilities are and what I can and can't do. So you might come to a certain panel description where it just sounds completely outrageous, but I really want to see if I can do this. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, there's some shit in there that it's just like fish lens fucking angles and shit like that. I just want to see what I can do while I'm having fun. And it was really interesting not only writing the script, but also catering to just myself.
Okay.
I know that sounds so weird, but that's exactly what I was doing. I was like, oh, I'm just going to write this shit. And it was a lot of fun, but it was really hard. Yeah, I have to admit.
Now, yeah, it is. I mean, it is difficult. I mean, I'm not going to lie. Writing comics is hard. drawing comics is hard. I mean, if it was easy, everybody would do it, you know?
Right.
What exactly. I was going to say was, now, would you find it easier? Now, this is my question on that. As an artist, would you find it easier without having to write the script and just kind of plot it out yourself and do it looser? Would that be easier for you, you think? Because everybody, the cool thing about comics is everybody's different.
I really don't know. I'd have to try it.
Okay.
That's the best answer I can give you. Most likely, common sense would say that yes, it should be easier, because I know exactly what I want in there.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
You know, that's why I was thinking maybe you don't need a script, you know? Because like when it comes to like when as writers, when Bob and I throw ideas back and forth, like when we're trying to write it, sometimes we don't have an artist on it yet.
Right.
Who's gonna draw that. But we're like, but this would be cool and this would be cool, and so we try and think about what's the coolest stuff to draw, and it's hard because we're not drawing it. So
yeah.
You know,
I get you. I think personally I would probably like it more if I had the actual script, only because, you know me personally, like I like structure.
You've gotten used to that now, I think.
Well, not only that, but just in everything in general in my life, I need to have some base of structure. And if there is any type of like extra rope being given to me, like it turns into chaos for me, and I don't handle that. I don't fucking handle that very well. Like even with my personal life with my kids and my wife, like I need everything to be structured. And the moment like one of my kids goes, no, I just fucking threw shit at the wall, I'm like, what the fuck? Like I just freak out. Like I don't know. Maybe I'm weird, but I need to have structure in everything.
Well, you should know your limitations, you know?
Yeah. You can look at it that way.
Yeah. So when you're approaching like a script, like when somebody sends you a script, what is it that you look for in a script to be like interested in a project or not interested in a project? Because
if I relate to it in any way.
Oh, that's a good answer.
That's interesting. That is interesting.
Because like it has any kind of note of some type of note of something that I could relate to. Like for instance, when you came to me when you first came to me about Oathbound before it was
Werewolf Western, because I wanted
to Werewolf Western. At that time, the only thing that I related to was
he said, "That's fucking stupid." That's exactly what he
said. That's the nicest way possible I could have said it. It just didn't sound interesting to me. But now, with my mentality, I'm more. I have come to you and said, "Hey, you know what? I'm sorry for saying that, because that does sound like a good idea."
He did. He did, actually. No, this is true. He called me one day and he goes, "You know, I was thinking when I first said that to you about, you know, when we were talking and you said Werewolf Western, and I said, that's fucking stupid over the phone. I feel kind of bad about that now, because like now that I think about it, it's actually kind of cool." And I was like, yeah, I knew that then.
I remember that conversation. I told you, you know, it'd be really fucking cool if you'd make Otaku from Oathbound turn into a fucking werewolf, because I've been thinking about that shit and it just sounds like fucking fun. And you're like, really? I was like, yeah, that'd be pretty dope. And then you're like, I don't know if that's going to work. And I was like, shit.
No, it's not going to work in the context. Because we can't take fantasy Western and add weird Western to it at this point. Yeah.
But I mean, I think werewolves are fantasy enough where I think you can get away with it. I mean,
yeah, I do too.
There's werewolves in D&D.
There is, but they're kind of different. Like for me, like, if we're going to do one, like the weird thing about it for me was, if we're going to do one, let's just do one and go all out on the fantasy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And not worry about adding monsters and undead and stuff to it. Because then it traces into that Joe Lansdale territory, which is the weird Western. And I was like, which I love, but that's not what this is. So let's stay with what it is so it doesn't get confusing.
I hear you.
Yeah, that's why I said, I was like, I would have loved you to say that like 3 years ago. That would have been great.
He would have loved it if you would have told him you loved him then, but no, it's too late now.
Thanks, Dick. God damn it.
Yeah, now I'm like, yeah, fuck you, man. No, I'm not like that. But we've become really good friends through having to work together. So like we joke around a lot and we say a lot of things to each other that we probably wouldn't say if we weren't as good friends. Like if it was a more business relation, like more like focused on just comics and that's it, we probably wouldn't say some things that we say. But the one good thing about comics is it brings people together. And then like I think this is like my relationship with Paul, us being friends, is proof of that.
Yeah,
because
you're such a sap.
I am, but I don't care.
He's a sentimental dude, bro.
I am.
Yeah, baby.
Nothing wrong with having feelings, bro.
I mean,
I feel you, bro. I feel you.
You know,
I say that about like all the people that I've been privileged enough to work with, baby. Like everybody
You know what? That's funny. Well, not funny as in haha funny, but it's ironically funny. I'm the one thing that I'm happy about, and I'm not good at expressing my feelings like you are per se, but I'm very, very happy with the people that I've gotten to meet. Even some of the people that I'm not 100% fond of, I'm still happy that I've been able to meet them, just because I've taken something away from everybody that I've met.
Yeah.
But not 100% fond of, you mean Bobby, right? Like, you're not talking about me.
No, I totally like Bobby.
I'm kidding.
I don't care either way. Like,
No.
I'm not going to fucking lose any sleep over it. I can think of a lot of people that don't like me.
There's a break. Not to like, dude.
That's true.
I totally like you. He's
All right. Settle down. I don't have a fucking...
Look how debonair he is. How could you not like
I know.
Him? A sweater on with the with
no,
the
no, on a personal, you've been nothing but gracious to me personally and very nice, probably more so than you realize you have been. I've had nothing but nice things to say about you.
Bobby's an A-plus human being.
Yeah. Mike Exner has been really cool. Drew Moss has been cool. Hoyt Silva has been cool. A lot of you guys have been really, really very friendly and open arms towards me. And to
and
me.
Now I come to you with open arms.
To me, that says a lot.
Well, I mean, at the end of the day, man, I mean, making comics is a fucking grind. Like, it's a grind. It's an emotional and kind of physical and mental grind. Like, because there's so much uncertainty about what you're doing, and there's so much, you know, so much stress that goes into making these projects and hoping they get picked up and running Kickstarters. And is anybody going to like this? Is anybody going to buy this? Am I wasting my time? Like, it's just such a grind. And when you see someone else who's grinding, who's putting in the work, who's doing what needs to be done to succeed, like, you automatically respect that person more. When you see someone who's got, like, I got ideas, yeah, I got comics, oh man, I got all this stuff, well, what let me see it. What you got? Oh, I don't have nothing yet. It's like,
right,
you're just fucking wasting my time and everybody else's, man. It's like my dad used to say, and I think this was a great expression, Kevin, I'm sure your dad said this too, maybe not, but it's a shit or get off the pot.
Yes, right. My dad did say that all the time. Yeah,
shit or get off the pot. That's the way I look at comics, especially indie comics.
If the Mets fans say that.
You know, I don't know, but I would just either do it or don't. Do it and do it or just shut the fuck up about it.
Yeah. No, my dad used to say, my father used to say something similar to that, but it was on the same effects. My father comes from Argentina, so his English is really, well, was broken. So my dad wouldn't say either shit or get off the pot. My dad would say either shut your face or say what you got to say.
Say what you need to say. Yeah, that's
that was it. Like,
yeah.
And don't waste my time.
Yeah.
That was his big thing. You know, I told Kevin that, I was like, my whole thing with, I think Kevin and I saw eye to eye right off the bat, because my whole thing was, if you're not going to produce me pages, then how do you expect me to produce you pages?
Yeah.
You know, like, that's the big thing. But as we've come to,
that Bobby's talking about, there's a lot of people who talk in the comics industry about
absolutely
what they're working on, but you never see a book or you never see anything done. And when you have those kind of people in your circles, like, you're wondering when they're ever going to get something, or if it's just going to be them talking about the next thing that they're doing or how many words they got for something that doesn't exist.
I don't know, man. Like, it's shit or get off the pot. Like, do the work or don't do the work, you know? And, like, when you see someone who's grinding, who's doing the work, then you automatically kind of respect that person a little bit more, because they're going through the same things you are. So you always know that, like, oh man, I just sent this pitch out. Shit. I want to talk to somebody about this. Oh, I can talk to Paul, or I can talk to somebody, you know, because they've been through the same thing that I'm going through right now.
Right. Right. No, I definitely agree with that. I think Kevin and I talk to Kevin the most out of everybody that I've come to know. So Kevin and I talk a lot about that. Like, if I get frustrated, somebody messages me with, you know, the scenario that you're talking about. I've had a lot of people, I wasn't prepared for how many people were going to call, like, message me and tell me how fucking awesome they are and how stupid I am for even, you know, responding to their questions the way that, how dare you ask me what I'm
you're talking about, like, that one artist in particular. I know what you're talking about.
No. When people message me and they say, hey, so I have this idea and I want you to work on this, and I would love for you to work on this project, and da 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 da, and then you're like, okay, well, let's talk, and they don't produce me a script, but then they message me a week later, and then they say, so are you going to work on this project? And I go, well, I still haven't read a script. Like, can you send me a script?
Yeah.
So I could at least check it out. And they don't send me something. And so they go, well, what do you charge? And I say, well, my rate is normally this amount, but you know, I'm indie scene just like you. So I'm going to be a lot more flexible than, you know, some people. So what are you able to afford? And then I can try to work with you. You know, I try to be flexible. So let's help me help you basically.
Yeah.
And basically the response I get a lot, or I used to get a lot, was that's unprofessional. Well, how the fuck is that unprofessional?
Well, my other favorite thing that he told me about, which I thought was funny, because we don't have to deal with this as writers, so this is a funny side of the things that we don't get to see, is he had someone message him and ask him to do character designs and start on stuff for their script, and they sent him descriptions of everything they want him to draw, and then you did the work, right? I remember this, because you did the work, and then you sent the guy the stuff, and he was like, oh, cool, like, but thanks, I found somebody else.
Oh, nice, okay.
Didn't that happen?
Are you talking about me? That's happened to me.
Yeah, that's what I meant, yeah, because you told
me. Oh, I'm sorry.
Who else are we talking to, Paul?
I thought you were saying, I'm sorry, I totally brain farted right there. Yeah, that has happened to me, and then I've had people have me do designs, and I've gone as far to get designs for them, and they basically then tell me that it wasn't what they wanted, and then they just disappear.
See, but I don't think that's necessarily the worst thing in the whole wide world either. I mean, like,
no,
as long as they're upfront about it and, like, they just don't ghost you. I mean, if they say, like, yeah, this ain't what I'm really looking for, man. Thanks for the effort, though. I think that's completely acceptable within the world that we live in.
It is, and then sometimes it's kind of it's not so much an insult. It's just kind of like,
it's a downer. Okay,
you had me do a lot of designs for you and you waited till I was done to tell me that you were not happy with them.
Yeah. I'm okay with that. Like, I think that's going to happen. I mean, like, I mean, it's never, I mean, I've never put the work in to do character designs like that because I'm not an artist, but I mean, like, as a writer, if I was working with someone, I mean, shit, when I was putting Monty together, I had a couple people that I were talking to. It was like three of them, and they each sent me designs, and I picked the best one, but I was upfront about it from the jump off. I was like, look, it's you and like two other people. I just need to see, you know, Monty and Sophie. Here's some ideas that I got kicking around. Send me what you got. So, I mean, I was completely upfront with it.
Yeah, that's different though. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I think that we're talking about something slightly similar, but not really. What I mean is I sent several designs.
Okay.
Like, at least I believe the guy that I'm talking about, or the person that I'm talking about, I sent like 30 designs. And
damn,
it was for a lot of different characters and some backgrounds and stuff like that. And the person got all of them. And then they finally said, when they got the last one, they said, you know, I'm just not feeling this. And I think I worked on it for like a good solid, like 3 or 4 days, 5 days or something like that. And I just was like, wow, you know, I was doing this for a week.
Yeah.
Trying to, and now you tell me this? Like, I could have been.
That's when you send them that invoice, Daddy.
Yeah, and you know, that was when I first started doing work with Kevin, and I didn't know. Yeah. I didn't know any better. And
but it's a learning experience, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
But you know, now you would just do one, right? Like that's is that the
yeah word? Yeah. Now it's different. Now it's a lot different for me. It's
one
more
or
like
two,
I'll do
like
one.
The main characters, and you know,
right. At that time, I was like, oh shit, it's a paying gig. I get to buy food for my kids, and it's gonna be awesome. But it was now it's a lot different, you know. Now it's a lot more along the lines of what you're saying, but at that point I was like, holy shit, I want to kill this guy.
Yeah. I mean, fuck it, dude, send that invoice, baby. Sometimes you got to do it, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, what do you have to lose, dude? I mean, you might as well, right?
I don't even remember the guy's name anymore.
No, I mean, I'm not saying at this point now it's a little late, but I mean, like, when stuff like that happens, I mean, if it happens again, send the invoice. And then at least you can get some scratch out of it, because then the dude can be like, well, I'm not using the designs, but I'll give you something.
Right.
You know, it's just,
I think that that's fair on both sides.
Yeah. Like,
you know, he did spend time, so you got to pay the artist to do. And that's something that all you prospective writers that listen to the podcast should take a listen to. Because that when that happens, be fair. It's that artist spent time drawing stuff, so you owe him something.
Yeah. Like
you might not owe him their page.
I remember that shit. I did so many goddamn designs for that.
I remember you calling me about this. What would you do? What should I do about that? I was like, I would send him an invoice if you did that many. Well, I kind of don't feel right because I didn't do any real work.
Invoice him.
Didn't I tell you to? I think I even told you, I was like, do me a favor. Can you ask Drew
what he would do? Yes. I think you did ask.
I was like, I don't want to bug him.
But... And he said the same thing. He said, send him an invoice.
Hey, hit him up with the fucking invoice, man. I mean, you got to do it, right?
No, I agree now. Totally. Now that's my mentality. But
you didn't feel right at the time, and I remember that. And I remember like thinking that was really cool of you to make that guy pay.
Well, I didn't want to react the way that I wanted to react.
Pay whoever you want to pay to stand beside you. Put your papers on newsstands all over the world. You gotta. I mean, you gotta get that loot, son.
I know.
But
yeah.
Also,
that's funny.
Go ahead. You have something.
No. I was just saying that was a funny.
I remember that. There's also like times where working on comics can be stressful, because I can tell you guys, Paul and I have actually like had knockdown, drag out yelling matches over the phone. Over.
I almost flew out there.
We were going to fist fight in my front yard.
What?
Nah, yeah. I don't know.
I take Kevin on that one. No offense, Paul.
No, it's fine.
I don't know about that. We could have sold tickets to that, and that would be a Kickstarter.
Yeah, right. Who wants to watch? Who wants to just brawl?
The brawl to end it all, baby. but no, we've had yelling matches over the phone where we yell at each other, and that happens sometimes. You get passionate about
stuff. Gets real, son.
Yeah, it happens.
It has. This ain't no game, son.
We always apologize to each other at the
end.
That's
cute.
Yeah, but I mean, you got to.
Yeah. He said that's cute.
I mean, this ain't no, I ain't front no games, son. This is life.
Well, you know, that's life. It is life. That's the risk of that's one of the risks of working with somebody and becoming that good of friends with them, you know?
Yeah.
We're really close. I'm just as close as you guys probably are. And I'm sure that there's been times where you guys...
No, you guys don't have a podcast together.
So right, that's what I'm saying.
It's not that way at all.
Fuckers.
I mean, we don't, son.
Why didn't you guys invite me to be... I could have been on the podcast. It could have been like the Word Bros and Paul.
Nah. It doesn't flow, baby. It doesn't flow.
Unless you Prince Paul.
Yeah.
Oh man, nah. There's been a couple times where we've gotten heated, but like you said, we squash it. I've always been the type of person that I'll apologize right away. I don't like people to be upset with me. I don't know. I'm weird like that.
I get it, man. I feel you. I'm that way too. I'm a people pleaser. I don't like people's feelings to get hurt. My daughter is very much that way too. Like she gets kind of like. You know, she's got to scope me out to make sure everything's kosher. But yeah, it happens. Because no, I mean, you don't want to be, especially about comics, especially when you're dealing with, like Kevin and I never, I don't think we've ever gotten to an argument.
No. Well, I mean, it's, but when we have ideas on stuff, what Paul and I were arguing about was ideas about the way something was supposed to go. Uh-huh. And then it got out of hand because of other situations. But like when we go back and forth, it's just that. It's like you'll throw something, I'll throw something out, and we go with the best idea in the room. So I don't want to say it's different, but it is.
I mean, every working relationship is going to be different.
You know? We were both extremely passionate about this thing that got us into that.
Well, also, at the time, we had life happening, and it was really stressful, and that seems to be the biggest scenario, is when something is wrong other than the medium that we're working in, that tends to be when the extra stress is there.
Yeah.
And so there's been a couple times where Kevin has let personal life get in that we're friends, so we allow that
damn,
to happen.
Son, he just threw you under the bus. You hear that one, Kevin?
No. I did the same thing. Just how it happens, you know.
I was going through a lot, and so instead of thinking about what I said before I said it, I just said stuff because I was. When I get stressed, that's how it goes. So,
yeah.
So
I'm the same way.
So when it comes to us, like we're hardly ever stressed. So you and me,
I get stressed out about stuff. I just deal with it in like a crazy, like, why won't they? I get like psycho, like high school boyfriend, like, why hasn't she called? Why hasn't she called? Why hasn't she called? Why hasn't she emailed? Why hasn't she emailed? What's happening? Why hasn't she emailed? That's how I get, you know. I sent an email to somebody. It's been 35 minutes. What's happening here? This is ridiculous. This is ridiculous. You know, that's how I work.
he will actually Facebook message and be like, no word yet. And yeah, then that's, 5 minutes later, no word
that's,
yet.
That's how I work. That's
and my I start laughing.
Yeah, I get real obsessed about shit.
So I'll call him and then be like, have you heard from him? Yeah, he goes, no.
So, that's funny. I get like that sometimes too, though. I understand that.
Yeah, I mean, that's life. Because I mean, like, you put so much work and so much effort and so much of your own personal feelings and whatnot into these books, and when they don't, you know, when you don't hear anything, when you don't get the responses back that you want, I mean, kind of sucks.
I'd rather hear a no than not get a response.
But I mean, in this business, it's like, we'll think about it. And then they never think about you ever again.
That I've definitely witnessed that. And you know what? I'm okay with that.
You know, I want closure. I want closure. give me closure.
I'm a dude who likes closure. I'm a dude who likes closure too.
I like closure. That's what I just want. That's all I want, baby. I just want closure. That's just don't leave me hanging, mama. I guess to know how this ends, baby. You
know? That's funny.
So, but Paul, man, we really appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedule to chit chat with us for a while.
No worries.
I'm glad to finally talk to you. You've got a lot of interesting ideas. You're doing a lot of work, man. So, I mean, and I would say, like, as someone on the outside of your artistic endeavors looking in, because you and I don't, we've never worked together. You've worked with Kevin. I've never worked directly with you. I'm just saying, like, I'm just trying to make it clear. Like, I'm saying, like, I'm an outsider in this case. Your work is progressing and you're getting better as you go. Like, everything you post looks better than the last piece. So
that Batgirl's fire. So.
Yeah, that Batgirl is great, man. I told Kevin I told Kevin straight up, I was like, dude, that Batgirl is great. We need to work with Paul. But then Kevin was like, nah, he's a pain in the ass. And I was like,
that's exactly. He's not lying. I'm apparently a diva.
Well, I think we all are. I mean, but I mean, he didn't say that. I'm just fucking around.
No, I know.
But there is that, like, yes, you should be. Like, you should be a diva. You should protect yourself. You should protect your money. You should protect what you're
doing. Your neck.
Yeah, because, I mean, it gets...
Like that little Wu-Tang.
You know, you can, I mean, shit, man. I mean, you can just piss money away on nothing before you know it, you know? So you need to keep your eye on the fucking loot cakes while you're... making your shit happen, you know? So it happens.
Right. I appreciate that, though. Yeah. I appreciate those kind words. That was very nice to hear. I appreciate that.
Yeah, man.
Where can people find you on the Twitters and the Facebooks?
Facebook, they can just look up my name, just Paul Gorey, and you'll see my...
You have a page, though, man. That's what's...
I can't spell that. How do you spell that?
P-A-U-L-G-O-R-I. And you'll see... Paul Gorey's art, and then you'll also see my personal page on Twitter. It's at Paul Gorey.
Is there an underscore in there? It's just one word, isn't it?
There's no space in there, yeah.
Yeah, you don't have a space. Mine does. So.
No. Yours says Kevin Coffin, right?
Yeah, it's right Halloween, now. Man. Everybody in this business just copies motherfuckers. That's all. We all do it. That's what everybody does. Everybody's like, hey, let's make our name Halloween.
I know.
You know, I don't even like Halloween. Like, I prefer.
Yeah,
I prefer Thanksgiving. Like, I like Thanksgiving.
Well, I mean, we do support the Wawa Gobbler, but I mean,
I do like 4th of July. That's about it.
See, it's too hot and you're outside and there's a bunch of smellies outside watching fireworks. And like, you see one firework display, you see them all. I'm just not, I'm good. There's bugs. I'm not doing that.
I like summertime. I'm not a cold weather guy.
See, I like Thanksgiving, man. Like, you
I just like fall.
I like Thanksgiving. My mom comes to Cincinnati. She cooks. We eat. I watch Mystery Science Theater 3000 or like the Lord of the Rings trilogy. Yeah, Lord of the Rings over 3 days. I'm good, baby.
Oh, shit. I'm going over to your house on Thanksgiving.
That shit's hot, son.
Yeah. I'm bringing my kids.
Last year.
And my fucking dog.
Yeah, I don't know how that would work out. But last year, we didn't watch Lord of the Rings because they're too long, like the extended edition. So I just watched Indiana Jones all weekend. It was great.
Yeah.
The extended edition.
Well, I think I remember you posting about that.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah.
Every
but
year.
You know what? That's funny that you're saying that you watch Lord of the Rings on Thanksgiving. Because every Thanksgiving break or Christmas break, it's about when I say it's time to watch some Lord of the Rings, motherfuckers. Let's do this.
Yeah, because you've got time off. Like, you've got.
Yeah, well, my kids are home. I just want to sit there and just do nothing. But I have to. I'm like, well, I got to work, but let's watch Lord of the Rings. What you have to work. Shut up. Let's watch the movie.
I want to watch Lord of the Rings. Be quiet, kids.
Stop talking,
nobody ever says,
bro.
Let's watch Willow. Nobody ever says that.
I don't have Willow. So
Willow's dope.
Yeah. You should get Willow.
Willow's the shit.
Yeah.
But you can find Paul there. And thanks again for talking to us, dude.
Yeah, Paul, I appreciate it, man.
No, thank you for having me. It was a lot of fun.
That was Paul Gorey. That's my man, my word bro, co-host. That's Kevin's boy.
Well, I mean, you're my boy too. You're my boy Blue.
Yeah,
we got a lot of boys.
Yeah, we tight, son. We tight. And then coming up right around the corner, you'll be at a Hanson Comic Con, right?
I will, like 2 weeks from now. I'll be with Drew.
That's high to def, son. You're gonna make all the money that weekend. You ain't got to split it with me, baby. That's a good feeling. It's good when you get to keep all the money.
I mean, it's just I don't know what I'm gonna have because Sean's working on a new lettered version of Oathbound that we've done some revisions to.
Uh-huh. So you got a table, but you don't have any books.
I just got Fredo.
Oh, that's cool, man. Hopefully, it'll do well for you there.
Yeah, I think it will. I mean, it's a great book.
Yeah, Fredo is a great book.
It is. And we were talking last time about Jean-Claude. And Seagal. So I was thinking about that
episode just came out like right before
today.
Yeah, so just today, because we're all explaining in the beginning. If you missed it in the beginning of the episode, I'm gonna move the episodes to Thursdays because Wednesdays are just out of control. As you heard in the beginning of the pod.
So Jean-Claude is your pick for 80s dude, like, you know, like
that's my
battle
man.
Royale, right?
Yeah, that's my man.
I think I would go with either Jeff Speakman or Cynthia Rothrock.
I don't know who either one of those people are. Now I feel like you're trying too hard at this point.
I might be. Jeff Speakman was the dude who did Okinawan Show and Rue, and he's the guy with the fast hands. He did the song that used to play for the movie that he was in. I think it was called The Perfect Weapon, and he had they played the Snap song. I've got the power.
Okay, all right. Yeah. I remember that song, but I don't remember that movie. I think you're trying too hard at this point.
No, man. He was actually dope.
I mean, I'm sure he is. Like, I'm not hating on you. I'm just saying, like, I never heard of that dude.
I started thinking about it. I was like, I would probably say I like Jeff Speakman. He did, like, three movies, and then you never see him again. I don't know what happened with him. Like,
he fell off, son.
I knew what happened to Jean-Claude. I knew why he didn't make movies anymore. I knew why Steven Seagal didn't make movies anymore.
Steven Seagal still makes movies, baby.
But not, like, nothing worthwhile, bro.
Yeah. I know.
I haven't seen a Steven Seagal movie since he was with DMX.
He makes them Nick Cage movies now. Like, just
just shits out movies.
Just straight to Netflix.
He like sits on the bowl and he said, get off the pot, shit or get off the pot. When Steven Seagal shits, a movie comes out.
Yeah. I mean, hey, man, I mean, if he's getting paid, then
I guess it doesn't matter.
You know?
But I mean, some of Nick Cage's worst movies are my favorite Nick Cage movies, like Drive Angry. Have you seen Drive Angry?
No, I've heard it's good, though.
I wouldn't say it's good. It's good if you like bad shit, and I like bad. Like, I'm basically like a dumpster diving trash panda. I like bad shit.
I heard it's kind of like Ghost Rider.
It kind of is. Like, yeah, I could see. I don't know which one he got first. Like, that's a good.
He did Ghost Rider first. Ghost Rider was one of his last, like, quote unquote big movies, I guess. To use. Well,
I don't. He's not a good. To me, okay, like being that we're comic book fans here, like I don't
we
think.
Are?
Well, I don't think Nick Cage is, but some of us are, is a good choice to play Johnny Blaze.
No, I mean, I don't think he was the best choice either. But I mean, they probably figured they could.
Who would you pick to play Johnny Blaze?
Who would I pick to play Johnny Blaze? Yeah. I don't know, man. I mean, well, the thing about Johnny, all right.
He's supposed to be a red haired guy though. See, that's the thing. He's a ginger, right? Every time I've seen him, he's a ginger, like Johnny, red
ball. Yeah, see, I don't like a good old country feller. I don't know, like
a good old country feller would be.
Johnny, I mean, Blaze. Johnny Blaze kind of comes across as like kind of country to me, right? I think that's fair to say.
Hey, I think he's supposed to be Evel Knievel.
Yeah, he's along that lines, like kind of right. Like a good old boy.
Do you think so? All right. I mean, I can see that from the Ghost Rider I've read. I haven't read as much as other people have. So from what I've read, I could see that being a good thing. Being like,
I don't know, man. Like the thing is, like the thing about Ghost Rider is, I mean, he's mainly a flaming head. So it doesn't really matter. Like as long as you got someone that was a decent actor to do it, I think you're okay. You know, but I think part of the problem with that movie was just the movie was just dumb. Like he ate fucking.
Oh, the script was terrible.
Yeah, he ate jelly beans for no reason. Like it was just really weird. Like a lot of weird stuff happened.
Because he's Nick Cage, man. He was Superman with a mullet. Did you see those pictures?
Yeah, I did see that.
Yeah, see. So, well, thanks for tuning in to another episode of Word.
That was a cold end right there. I dig it. Yeah, no. we'll talk to you guys next week. So thanks for listening.
You're listening to the Word Bros Podcast, thewordbros.com.